Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to land. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. We're going to walk through verses 7 through 16. Full transparency, Philippians, one of my two favorite books in all of the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, in-depth passage about how to know Jesus, how to walk with him. I can remember back in high school memorizing the book of Philippians, much of which I have forgotten since then. That was a long time ago. But these verses in particular, spending time on Friday nights in my room, walking through these verses, trying to grasp and understand exactly what God was saying through Paul in this, relationally challenging me with the Lord. And it's great days then. Well, obviously, God has continued to do the work in my life. There have been significant moments in your life as well where God has directly spoken to you, said things in your life, shown you things through his word, encountered him in worship where he's done amazing things, and you have not stopped there. We have continued going, and that is part of our journey in Christ. If you've been with us at all in the last 6 months, you've known that we have begun to walk through what is the Bible all about, seeing the thread of Jesus walking through all of it, beginning in Genesis, ending in Revelation, and of course that is not the end of us looking forward to God taking us home if we surrender our lives to him, but seeing the common thread of Jesus all the way through Old Testament and New Testament, and also seeing grace, the concept of grace, God's unmerited, merited, undeserved favor that we have with him. We have not earned it. He has done it for us because of his grace. We even see it back all the way to the Old Testament when the Ten Commandments were given. Exodus 22. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So when God introduced the Ten Commandments, which forms the basis of every law in the Old Testament, he was reminding them that grace came first. And we see that, the evidence of that, all the way through the Old and New Testament. He makes us right or redeems us, places the Holy Spirit in us, and in so doing gives us the ability to glorify him and to live this life out righteously because of what he's done in our lives. 13 years ago, I was introduced to a guy in Omaha, Nebraska at Westside Church named J. Wes Crockett. He is our big kids lead on the Antioch campus. Many of you know him, have seen J. Wes, the red-haired fireball that he is. And we became great friends. We served in the student ministry there together for 2 years. And now we have been here almost for 11 years, which is absolutely amazing that God would allow us to transition together, to be in the same place, continuing to serve, and again, a lifelong friend. Well, the vision mission statement of Westside Church at that time was the journey, walking in the journey with the Lord and with people. So the challenges were to journey in, to journey out, and to journey deep. And that's what was talked about, the thread of our church consistently in the way we walked with the Lord. So as serving in student ministry together, we knew that we needed to develop a mission statement for the student ministry that went along the lines of that journey. And so we set up the system of CLIMB. That was our student ministry vision statement: caring, lifting, impacting, maturing, and belonging. Looking at the five aspects, really, in conjunction with now the five habits of a Jesus follower and how we could effectively and consistently do that, walking through life, teaching, training students and adults all the way through. It was great for us. Every time we walked in the doors, every time we considered student ministry, every time we thought of one another, this was a part of that thinking, of that process, and it challenged us. It grew us like crazy. So transitioning here again almost 11 years ago and being a part of the initial team that developed the five habits of the Jesus follower, for us, we again begin to cling to those various areas. Surrendering, of course, sustaining the five S's that we have, that we talk about consistently as a church family. And so we have continued to be challenged in the way that we have grown, in the way we've loved, and the way we've walked. It is included in our lives a desire for personal growth with relentless pursuit of God as our convictions to follow him and to love him have deepened as we've walked through this life together. Thus the five habits, thus our church family, thus where we are. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16 speaks directly into this. Beginning verse 7, But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So Paul begins this chapter, chapter 3, actually in verses 1 and following, giving a warning. Remember, New Testament books in particular, oftentimes the author or writer, Paul, who outside of the Gospels wrote more than half of the New Testament, was warning the church about something that they were doing that was off. And so in the midst of that, Paul was saying, listen, there are those who are out to destroy you, so you need to be prepared. You need to be ready. Watch out for them. Guard your hearts against them. Make sure that you are staying on track and focused, because if you don't, those who choose to try to destroy you will, in many respects, have victory. If you don't keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you're going to be hurting pretty quickly. Then he goes into a strange section in some respects where he talks about his personal resume, about how when he was in the Jewish religious leadership group, how he was, in essence, in all the standards that they were asking for him to be perfect, he was able to manage all of those things in many respects perfect ways, holding the law, holding the rules that he was supposed to in extreme ways, and was able to nail it. In essence, telling them, okay, if you as a church family have come to a point relationally with Jesus where you think you've made it, you think you've perfected it, you think you're in a great place, I encourage you to consider my life, where I've been, where I am now, what's happening in my life now, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, zeal for persecuting the church, etc. He talks about those things, and then he comes with a statement in verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. So basically what he was saying from that, everything that he thought he had gained religiously in accordance, in relationship with, however you define it, with God before he surrendered his life on the way to Damascus, he was saying that he understood in many respects perfection, but none of that mattered. None of it. So we get into verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So in this, Paul was saying that everything outside of knowing Christ should be considered as rubbish. Another term, and if you study this passage before, you know what he's referring to. Specifically, what is he referring to? It is as dog dung, a dog poo, I guess we could say. We'll leave it at that. That's what he's considering. Everything in his life outside of knowing Jesus and being vested, that's what it should be counted as. Challenging them, what are you striving for? What are you growing in? What are you looking for? How are you trying to find satisfaction in life? Everything in comparison with knowing Jesus, he tells us, is worth nothing. That is it. That was his life. That was the picture of who he was. And indeed, he counted everything a loss to just knowing him. And if there was anyone that ever knew Jesus, it was Paul. I mean, just for him to make the statement, hoping to know, striving to know, surpassing worth of just knowing Jesus my Lord, that was his goal in life. Obviously, Paul knew Jesus and was attempting to strive in him, allowing God to transform his life to make a difference with those that he was around. So it's interesting that he uses that phrase, I just want to know him more in verse 10. I want to know Christ. Paul, you know Christ. So what was he saying? I have yet to reach perfection in any of it. I'm a work in progress. This week really has been amazing for many in our church family. Not just the individual stories of each of us going and sharing the gospel where we live, with our neighbors, with the people we work with the people that we see, but the India team who has just returned from an amazing time of God doing amazing things. We're going to hear more about that the night of June the 24th and beyond of what he's done. But God was working specifically in the lives of those and changed lives. So our team that went, this campus in particular, the Smiths and Daniel Welty going out, serving, striving, sharing, saw lives change right in front of them. It's amazing how God can do that in and through us, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our strengths. This week also was Impact KC, our student ministry in-town mission event, days. We are so blessed to have godly student pastors. You know, they love you, they love our students, they love our families, and they lead well. Aim Chow San is the one that we have opportunity to have on our campus. He led well this week. So I talked with them a little bit about Impact KC and what took place. And in the midst of that, I said, I'd love for a student to be able to share. Who would you recommend? So he suggested two girls to come. One of them this morning is going to come up. Come on. This is Tieran. You may not know Tieran. You may know her. She's actually my daughter. And God did a couple of specific things in the midst of her life in this week. And so not only would she like to share her testimony with you, but she would also like to share a couple of things that God did specifically in the areas where she worked this weekend. So Tieran, why don't you share with us?
Hi, my name is Tieran. I'm a sophomore at Blue Lake High School. So on October 8th of 2008, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior at home. I was 5 years old at the time, and I couldn't think of anything I wanted to do more. In my room with my parents, I knew that I was a sinner. Mainly at the time, the biggest sin I was disobeying my parents.
Just lift that up a little. Nice and slow.
Okay, nice and slow.
Go ahead.
I knew that Jesus died and rose again. I repented or turned away from my sin and surrendered my life to him. Almost immediately, I felt a change in my heart. I had a passion to share the gospel with everyone I knew. Though at the time, I really just knew that Jesus loves everybody and wants all to know him. And I told my friends the same, asking them if they wanted to surrender their life to Jesus. As I've grown in Christ, I've developed skills to help me with my walk with my friends in my walk too. Fail to believe me when I tell you that I have been far from perfect. I have gone through my ups and downs, sinned, and made mistakes. I have not always been consistent in my Bible study life. My life has not always reflected who I am in Christ, but in spite of that, God has continued to love me, forgive me, and keep me going forward with him and striving to hold out the gospel as I have grown. Right now, God is teaching me to place my full confidence in Jesus and to realize that I am his daughter no matter what. I have always been passionate for people and believe that God has gifted me to be able to have conversations and build friendships with people of all different backgrounds. I try to be very open with my walk with Jesus with everyone I come into contact with. And while I failed many times, I have always had the opportunity to not only build relationships with people, but to also share the gospel. The most recent was about 10 days ago. I was on my phone with my friend, and she asked me if she could surrender her life to Jesus. So I got to help her with that. And I know she needs to grow, and I will be one of those to help her grow. And that is a real gift. Over the past week, I have been involved in Impact KC, our student ministry and in-town mission adventure. Over 3 days, our students were divided into four different groups to go into four different locations, including Blue Valley High School, the Blue Valley Annex, Mission Adelante, and Rolling Ridge. I personally served first at the Annex, where we pulled weeds, dead bushes, and put out mulch. The finished product looks really good. The second was Mission Adelante, where I spoke over the intercom and worked at the jewelry cabinet. My final day was at Rolling Ridge. I helped teach kids how to play soccer. Most of my friends and family know that soccer is not my sport. But as I went through the day, I started to forget that the fact that we were playing soccer and started to find that the kids were really enjoying it. And that made it really meaningful. I also had the opportunity to share my testimony. And once I was done, I saw the kids being very engaged. And they were asking really good questions, and they all seemed like they wanted to come to VBS this week. It was a great week to serve, and I am grateful I got the opportunity to do so. I encourage you to serve if you aren't, and to keep serving if you are. God is on the move in our church family, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
Job. Nice work. Two things that are very similar with Tieran and I. One, passion, you heard it. Two, talking fast, you heard it, right? We both get ramped up, we get going, we talk. In the midst of her testimony, she shared about how 10 days ago, she had the opportunity to share the gospel with a friend of hers who she's been working on for over a year on the phone, and that girl surrendered her life to Jesus. That's about the eighth friend, I think, for Tieran since she's known Jesus for her to be able to share the gospel with that has surrendered their lives to the Lord. That's pretty amazing for a girl who just turned 15 to have that kind of opportunity. She also shared in the midst of it, she's far from perfect. Believe us, the Ray family, all of us are far from perfect. But God continues to work and move in her life. And this week in particular, through our students and through our leadership, God did amazing things in the lives of those kids. In the next week, for all of those who are going to serve at Vacation Bible School, God is going to do amazing things in and through you. Whether you're serving on a rec team, or you're in a classroom teaching, or you're part of the worship team, or you're doing the snacks, or the 15,000 other responsibilities that are coming this week, God is going to do an amazing thing on both campuses. The gospel's going to be shared. Kids who have never heard before are going to hear the gospel for the first time. And God's going to work. He's moving in our midst. Tieran said that at the end. He is changing all of us and making us more like himself as we are on this journey of grace together that is a journey of growth. We are all growing if we have a relationship with him. Philippians 3:12, Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or I am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." So what is Paul saying? Paul is authentically sharing from the depth of his life that he has not yet reached the pinnacle of relationship with Jesus, of salvation, that God is continually changing him from the inside out, working, and we can totally relate to that. If we are reading the Bible for the sake of reading it or doing things for the sake of religious activity, we are missing it. We cannot earn God's love or favor based on our actions and our attitudes and our works. David Neely, our missions and administration pastor, shared that vividly a couple of weeks ago with us about what God is doing and how he used to live from that position in life and how he was trying to earn God's favor in him and how he realized there's no way that I can earn it. It's a gift. It's the grace of God. And God took him out of that season. The same is true for us. This was an amazing week of God working in the lives in and through our students and leaders. It was also an amazing week for our India team. It was also prayerfully an amazing week for us who are possibly involved in neither. The journey of grace is also one of relentlessness. And we see in verses 13 to 14 as Paul talks about striving in him. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So when Paul begins to talk about what was behind and how he wasn't living there or dwelling there, there are a couple of things that stick out. The first, God has obviously, and many of us, worked and done amazing things over the years. When was the last time that you can specifically remember him doing something in and through you to affect the lives of others? 10 minutes ago? 10 hours? 10 days? 10 years? What was Paul saying in forgetting what is behind in relation to this? God did amazing things in Paul's life as well. And he could have stopped relationally with Jesus. He could have stopped shepherding and serving. He could have stopped preaching. He could have stopped writing letters. Based on everything God had already done, he pretty much filled his slate. I would argue that many of us, in comparison with Paul, if we did that, if we set side by side just the first portion of Paul's ministry, none of us have experienced anything like that. And so Paul was saying in this, he didn't want to just remember those things. Now, I'm not talking about not remembering salvation. If you remember Psalm 51, David, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, did what? Asked forgiveness, repented, turned, and then he prayed what? "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain it." So he wasn't saying, or he isn't saying to us or to the church at that time, forget your salvation. It's a work that's been done. Just forget it. Blow it off. Move on. No, we need to remember that. Because there are times that all of us walk through discouragement where we need to remember what it was, when it was that we were saved, when God changed us. It can restore to us the joy of salvation. God can do that when we do that. We need to remember. So it's not that. What about spiritual markers in our lives? If you've walked with God for any period of time, you have specific spiritual markers where God has done a great work. Are we to leave those alone and never remember them again? No. We are to go back and visit those things in our lives in the way that God worked and moved. But we're not supposed to live on those things and say, okay, I've done my work, I've retired from my faith, I'm good to go. Paul was saying we can't remember things like that, that God worked and it's it, it's over, it's done. He wasn't saying that. He said we need to forget those things, remember them as markers, but not to live on the laurels of what took place or live on what God did. So that was one thing he was saying in these verses. The second, I think, may hit more of us square between the eyes. Many followers of Jesus, and you know this is true, maybe this is even your own life, live with the shame and the guilt of past mistakes and failures, whether it's pre-salvation or post. There have been so many horrific things that happened in my life. I've treated this people group horribly. If you saw the depths of my heart, I hate this people group. And every time I see one, I try not to make it shown, especially if I'm with other followers, but I can't stand that people group. In fact, I'm going to make their lives miserable by fill in the blank. And so if we treat people that way, we section ourselves that way, what happens? We have shame and guilt because what happens afterwards? If we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit does what? He convicts us of our sin. And so we can look back on the way we treated people in the past and it can cripple us moving forward. Well, I can't be good to people. I can't make a difference in that person's life because they know who I really am. So I can't go backward. I can't get past that moment. Others of us struggling with addiction, current. Maybe struggle with addiction in the past. And for whatever reason, those things, those issues, those things that we wrestle with constantly, we think I'm ineffective because of that and I can't make a difference for the gospel or the kingdom. And so I'm not even going to try. In fact, I'm going to continue to live in the shame and the guilt, and I'm just going to exist. And relationally with the Lord, instead of embracing him, more oftentimes we're like this, or maybe even like this, walking away. Okay, let's think back to Paul for a second. What did Paul do before his conversion? He killed Christians. Hated Christians, despised followers of Jesus. Remember Stephen in Acts? If you studied Acts, what did he do? He gave approval to Stephen being stoned to death. And then following that, he said what? I want to go to Damascus. He got permission from the religious leaders to go. And what was he going to do? Wipe out follower of Jesus population. God rescued him on that road, if you remember, and saved him. But Paul's whole life was that. So here's my question for you this morning. How many of us have actually sat down, got a piece of paper, had a pen, and started making our list of Christians that we want to kill? Murder. Want to take them out. I think I'm pretty safe to say zero of us, right, have done that. Okay, so let's compare our lives once again with Paul. Paul, who was Saul, that was his life. Us. Struggle with addiction, mean towards people, unfair treatment, things in our lives that shouldn't be there, things that in our lives that shouldn't have been, that cripple us. Compare the two. And what is God saying through Paul in this? What is Paul telling us? Forget that stuff. It's past. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we are followers of Jesus and if we have gone through the process of confession and repentance, what does he promise us? Life. You don't have to be gripped by those things. I don't either. Those things don't have to hold us back where we think we're going to be ineffective for the gospel or for Jesus. Who's doing that? We're doing it to ourselves. My goodness, Paul. Murderer of followers of Jesus, side by side, who's worse? And Paul was saying, I'm forgetting those things. God rescued me. He has purpose for my life, and I can move forward. You know what? We can too. That's his calling in our lives. That is his calling in your life. You can make a difference in spite of. How are you living that out? Are you still struggling? Paul understood the weight and the gravity of what it meant to forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead, strain his work. None of us just wakes up all of a sudden the next morning and we're godly. We get that too, don't we? I mean, it's a process. None of us thinks on a Friday, okay, tomorrow that's going to be the day I'm going to be awesome. And we wake up the next day and what do you know? We look in the mirror, holy moly, when did that happen? Look at the picture of that person. It's a process. It takes work. The disciplines of the spiritual faith, the things that we work through, through prayer, Bible study, sharing our faith, fasting, walking, encouraging, loving, sharing the gospel. It's a process. None of us just make it. And none of us are going to make it fully until we see the King face to face one day. And then we're going to recognize and realize, my goodness, everything that happened, thank you, God, for rescuing me, for allowing me to make a difference on the planet. Do you know today, and do I, that God wants to make a significant difference in the lives of the people who know you through you? He does. Will you allow him to do that in your life? Will I? Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained. The journey of grace is also one of conviction. Grace is a theological concept that is prone to error, and we've touched on those errors, some of them, today. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is the work of God in our lives. It is not to run towards sin. It is to run toward him. And then when we sin and we blow it, because all of us do, ask forgiveness, repent, turn away, and keep moving. Remembering markers, yes, in our lives of what God has done, but knowing that even greater things are coming. Okay, here's how we're going to wrap up. I think the way the message, which is not a translation, but it is a modern day transcription of what these verses say. ESV is basically what I study. NIV is much of what I've memorized in. But this is a modern day picture of this passage. Here we go. The whole thing, Philippians 3, 7 through 16. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing away with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I would embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some pretty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all of that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying I have all this together. My goodness, that's Paul. He didn't have it all together. That I have made it. But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Boy, if we could do that. I'm off and running, and I'm not going back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us, and I think that is every person in the room. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You will see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it.